Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how to utilize the information we provide today and take full accountability for the decisions you make and the resulting outcomes. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very unique time in our workplace and our world when desire has never been more important. As such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Christy Whitman. Christy is a transformational leader, celebrity coach, and law of attraction expert. She is the founder and chief executive officer of the Quantum Success Coaching Academy, a 10-month law of attraction coaching certification program. Christy has appeared on many media outlets, including The Today Show and The Morning Show. She is also a best-selling author. Her latest book is The Desire Factor: How to Embrace Your Materialistic Nature to Reclaim Your Full Spiritual Power. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Christy.
Thank you, Greg. I'm happy to be here. Hi, everybody.
The honor is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from this morning, please.
I am in Scottsdale, Arizona.
You've just made the listeners and hosts very, very jealous. The most beautiful places in the world, certainly. Christy, sorry to say we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about you, your incredible life, this wonderful book you've written. We're going to jump right into the proverbial deep end of the pool.
Love it.
Share with us, Christy, please. How does desire act as the driving force behind every creative endeavor? And what role does it actually play in the process of manifestation?
Well, think about it. When you are hungry and then you have the desire to eat, that desire is what gets you up off the couch to go into the kitchen, make yourself something to eat, right? It's the
Yes.
desire for the divine to create the heavens and the earth, right? And in
Sure.
order for it to exist. So it's the desire for us as human beings to even be here and to have this life experience. So everything, whether it's creating a ham sandwich or the entire universe, everything was in the creation process because someone desired it to be.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing. I never would have thought that, but that makes perfect sense. Now, can you please share some of the transformative teachings that have led countless individuals towards achieving success and prosperity, as highlighted in your great work?
Yeah, so I've been talking about and learning being a student of myself for about 3 decades. And one of the laws that I talk about is the law of attraction. What you send out, meaning with your thoughts, your emotions, with the pictures, the visuals in your mind, whatever we hold for ourselves, we attract back to us because energy follows our consciousness. And we're the ones that have free will as to what we focus on. And so, as we're focusing on what we're looking forward to instead of what we're trying to run away from, what we're afraid of, then we feel better and then we attract better things to us. So when our mind is focused on the more abundant way of life, looking at the good in people, looking for what's right, what's good, what feels, what it brings us joy, right? What fulfills us, we tend to attract more of those experiences and more of those people that match this. But if we're focused on what's wrong and bad and what we're complaining about and what we're judging about and what we're afraid of and what we're doubting and, you know, worst case scenarios, then we tend to feel bad and we attract more of those things. So the law of one of the laws that I talk about is the law of sufficiency and abundance. And that if you think about it, there's like three states of being. There's one state that doesn't feel good, which is based in a lack mindset. And whenever we're in a lack mindset, we feel bad. It's where all of the emotions of fear, doubt, disappointment, sadness, boredom, you know, all of those kind of emotions, guilt, shame, those emotions come from a perspective of lack. And then the second one is more neutral to that. We don't feel bad, where we're not like super excited. We just feel a sense of peace. We feel content. We feel fulfilled. We feel okay. There's a sense of a soothing that's happening within us. That's where compassion comes in. And then the third bucket is where we're now in that space of joy, excitement, fun, thrill, freedom. You know, so think of it as like a vibrational spectrum going from like keys on a piano, right? Going from really low notes all the way to really high notes.
Oh, that's a great analogy, where that is so empowering to think of it that way. Now, I know there are a couple of principles that constitute the quote unquote desire factor. Can you elaborate on a few of these and how understanding these can really impact our lives, Christy?
Absolutely. So the desire factor, the book, really outlines seven principles of how actual energy and manifestation set up. And so one of them is we get into that receiving mode, if you will. We get into alignment to get that idea, to get that spark of a desire, right? So when we're the ones that receive it, we don't think it up. We just receive that idea from a higher experience, right? Whether you call it God or divine or, you know, universe, however you like to term that. We are the receivers of that. And when we receive in that desire, we're in alignment. And alignment is the very first step. And it's how we, as a receiver, co-create with the universe. So we first get into alignment. And now it's up to us, as a second principle in our own consciousness, on what we focus on. So the second principle is the principle of focus, because say that we get an idea for something or we get a desire for something and then we go, oh no, I can't do that. Or who am I to do that? I'm too old to do that. Ooh, the economy is too bad to do that. You know, we have so many ways of focusing against that desire. So we could get the desire and go, ooh, I'd love to do that. But then our focus gets on what we don't want instead of what we do want.
Oh, I could see where that negative thinking would just shut it right down.
Yeah. I mean, you've been given an idea that lights you up, you know, that makes you feel alive. And then our old programming says, well, oh, I don't know how to do that. Nobody I know has ever done that. Well, who am I to do that? You know, that's not possible. And our own negative consciousness, our own negative thinking talks us out of that desire, even though it thrilled us in the moment that we received it, and we talk ourselves out of it. So instead, focusing on what you do want, ask yourself three questions. And if anybody takes this away today, this is the most important thing. When you are being negative, or someone's being negative with you, or you're judging or you're criticizing, or, you know, you have some kind of contrast, meaning you have some kind of experience in your life, whether it's financial, in a relationship, with your own body, at work, whatever it is, ask yourself these three questions. What do I want? Because we are so accustomed to focusing on what we don't want, and we push up against, and we try to defend, and we resist, and we try to, you know, run away from what we don't want, that if we turn our focus to what we do want, we feel better. So just asking yourself, if you have to ask yourself 1,000 times a day, what do I want? Okay, well, this is not what I want, but what do I want? What do I want? And then take it a step further. First, you ask yourself, what do I want? And then you ask yourself, why do I want it? And when you ask yourself, why do I want it? A lot of times people go back to, because I don't want to be worried, right? Well, that's still focusing on what you don't want, right? Okay. Yeah. I want more money, right? Or I want to be financially free, or I want to lose weight, or I want to get in better shape, or I want to find a partner. I want to get a divorce, whatever it may be. I want what I want, right? Why do you want it? Because as you start getting to know yourself and understanding, I want more money. Let's just use that as an example. Yeah. I want more money so I don't have to worry. Okay, wait, that's focusing in the wrong direction. What do I want? I want more money so I can feel secure. So I can go on that vacation. So I can move to a different neighborhood. So I can, you know, send my kids to the best schools. So I can eat better food, whatever that might be, right? What do you want? Why do you want it? And then ultimately, third question, most important question is, why do you want that? What do you want? Why do you want it? How do you think you're going to feel? Because anything we want in life, it doesn't matter what it is, we think that we're going to feel that way when we get it. It doesn't matter what it is. We think that, well, once I get this thing, then I'll feel free. I'll feel successful. I'll feel stable. I'll feel joyful. I'll feel, you know, passion. I'll feel purpose. We want what we want so we can feel a certain way. But most of the time we go and we work harder. We strive. We do. We get the relationship. We get the kid. We get the house. We get whatever it is. And then we go, huh, that didn't do it. Maybe I need another kid. Maybe I need a bigger house. Maybe I need to leave the guy. Maybe I need a different job. Maybe I need another promotion. We assign our feelings and our emotions outside of us with that pile of money, with that partner, with that job promotion. When all of that is available to us now, if you want more money and you know why you want more money, because you want to feel free, allow yourself to imagine and feel the freedom right now.
Oh, that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Now, if I perceive the book correctly, this incredible book you've written, The Desire Factor, it's intriguing how seemingly surface level desires can be rooted in deeper emotion. Can you discuss how to identify and navigate these underlying connections for us, please, Christy?
Yeah, a lot of times, and this goes with the, you know, whole subject of what we're just talking about, we say, well, I want this, but if you really understand why you wanted it, right? I want to have a kid. Why? Because my mom and my mother-in-law wants me to have a kid. Okay, wait, I want to stop and ask myself, do I want to have a child? Is that something I really desire? Or am I wanting to do it to please them? Am I wanting to go to college and get this certain degree because I'm wanting to please somebody else? Am I wanting to not work to please, you know what I mean? Or work this job or that job to please somebody else? Am I doing it to make other people so I'm included, right? Because we think that if I please the others, then I'll be okay. But if it's really what we want, it's called a healthy selfish, and not trying to people please everybody else, to be real and honest. What is it that I desire? Because when you give yourself permission to have what you desire and you're filling yourself up, now you can give from the overflow, right? Not depleting yourself, trying to just make everybody else happy. And then you're like, second, you know, let me please everybody. And then after everybody else is pleased, I'll please myself. But nobody has enough energy to do that.
This really hits home because working in the Center for Career Exploration, which I did for quite a while, or formerly our Career Center, if you will, time and time again, students would come in and say, my parents and my grandparents want me to be this, but I really want to be this. But it caused a lot of internal confusion for them. Would that make sense? It would, I guess.
Absolutely. I call that split energy. They feel called to go in one direction, but the parents putting pressure because they, you know, they love their child. They are wanting to support them. I know the best, you know, I know what's best for you. You should do this. And, you know, the kid might feel like, hey, I'm an artist, but the parent's like, no, you need to go become a lawyer. And they feel that split within them that that's not what I'm passionate about. That's what I'm not being aligned and guided to do. It's not coming. It's the difference between inspiration and motivation. Inspiration comes from within, whereas motivation, it comes from, you know, outside of ourselves.
Sure. Sure. Oh, so well said. As a Franciscan, this question really interests me a great deal, Christy, my fellow Franciscan brothers, because your perspective on spirituality and desire really challenges the notion of materialism as inherently negative. Could you expound, please, on how embracing our desires can actually enhance our spiritual journey instead of taking away from it?
Yeah, it's the idea that the things that we have that are material are bad to have. But think about anything. If everything is manifestation of God, if everything or divine, however you want to say that, everything is energy. And energy is the divine. Energy is life. And under anything, whether it's material and, you know, or physical or non-physical, is energy. We know this now. Crack open an atom and what do you have? You've got energy. Science has proven that everything is energy. So there is life. There is energy within every quarter of this universe. And so energy is underneath. It supports the things that are physical. And if we have a desire for something, now let's just say I have a desire to build a house, or I have a desire to be more successful in my career, or I have a desire to, you know, I don't know, buy a golf clubs, whatever the desire may be, right? Again, there is an excitement, a life force, an enlivening that happens within the human being to move towards that desire. That enlivening, if you will, that expansiveness is the connection between us and the divine. The actual desire, getting to that promotion, moving to that new house, getting that golf clubs, it's not about the end result. It's who we became in the process of attaining that desire. And that is spiritual. That's the growth point.
Wow. That really is amazing. It is what's happening along that journey there.
Yeah. Wow. Think about it. When someone goes to college, you know, I knew I had a desire when I was a kid to go to college because I wanted to be independent, make my own money and have my own career, right? When I look back now, yes, I got a piece of paper and yes, it gave me opportunities, but boy, did I become someone so different in those 4.5 years that I was in college. It was all my experiences, all those times when I had to make my decisions by myself. You know, it was the times that I struggled and how I then shifted, you know, getting bad grades to getting good grades and trying to, you know, study differently. It's all of it was a journey and who I became in the process of getting that degree. It wasn't about the degree. It was who I became in the process of it.
That really is amazing, certainly. Now, aligning personal desires with spiritual purpose, and I think we've touched upon some of this, really is a central theme in this great book of yours. Let's peel the onion, please, Christy. Do you want to talk more about how to propose individuals find this alignment and really tap into their full spiritual potential?
Okay, so I'm going to make it as simple as we can. We are designed, literally blueprinted, divinely designed to thrive and to feel good. Life journey was supposed to be, it is supposed to be for every single person, an experience like our soul experiences love. And so when we connect with our soul's light, when we connect with that expansiveness of our soul's love, we experience joy. So it's not about something material. It's about finding our joy, finding the good, finding the connection in everything that we do, in this material experience. This is a, there's non-physical and then there's physical. This physical life experience is of matter. It is material. And so when we can understand that, yes, there are going to be contrasting experiences, there are going to be experiences that knock us down. There's going to be experiences that people have had that have been traumatic, or it might be considered a crisis, or times where we're scared, you know, but being able to choose that contrast, what we don't want happens, our resistance to that contrast is our choice, because we have a choice in what we think, in what we say, in what we feel, in what we perceive, and in what we do. Beyond that, everything else, we can't control that. We don't have influence over that. But when we can see an experience and go, okay, what is, how am I going to look at this from a vantage point that feels good, where I'm going to thrive, that this is going to grow me, that I'm going to learn something here. This is a, what if I looked at this as a gift, not something that's happening for me, instead of something that's happening to me? Instead of being a victim to it, how can I be a hero from this?
Wow. Oh, that is said so beautifully and so profound, no doubt about that. Now, on the flip side, your book's got some great practical tools because they're essential for growth. Do you want to share maybe one or two of these tools for growth that you talk about from the desire factor, really aid readers in identifying, harmonizing their desires with their spiritual journey?
Absolutely. You know, there are questions within each chapter that helps you have self-reflection, because questions like, and we talked about this earlier, what do I want? Why do I want it? And how do I want to feel? Gets us in touch with ourselves, gets us in touch with our own innate power. And there's many different powerful questions like that, that helps us turn inward and get to know and become aware of really what's important to us and how we are feeling, and to allow us to be able to master our own energy. Because, you know, emotions, for example, if we are not mastering our own emotions, if we don't have emotional intelligence, we're being reactive to everything that's happening. We're not responding. We're getting reactive because some of pain point or some, you know, crisis point or some trauma that we're reacting from. But when we know how to really be able to sit with ourselves and really be present with our emotions, it's not as scary as it we're made to think it is, because it's just energy. And when we are letting ourselves feel the energy that's within us, no matter way, if we suppress it or push it down or smoke it or drink it or whatever way, it's still there. When we just sit with it, it releases, because energy wants to move. It's its natural state to be flowing. And so when we can let ourselves be real and honest with how we're feeling, and that's what these questions at the end of each chapter helps us do. It helps that inner reflection, helps us get clear on, you know, what do I want in each aspect of my life? What do I want to be focusing on? What do I joyfully expect about this particular desire, right? What would I love about this desire? And one of the things, the principles that we talk about in the book, it's the fourth chapter, it's the principle of having. And it's like what Einstein said, you match the vibration to what it is that you want. I'm paraphrasing here, but you match the vibration to what it is you want, and then it becomes yours. This isn't woo-woo. This is like literally how the physical universe works, because it's a universe of vibration. It's a universe of energy. And so when we're in the mode, if you will, when we are vibrating, not in deficit to what we want, but we are vibrating in alignment to what we want, like we've already feel like we have it, like we were talking about, what do I want? Why do I want it? How do I want to feel? I want to feel free. Okay, feel the feeling of freedom right now. Now you're a vibrational match to it, and everything that the universe has, like cooperative components that will continue to bring the situation, circumstances, experiences, relationships to you that match that level of freedom.
Oh, wow. Just amazing. It really, really is. Time is getting short. I'm really sorry about this. We only got about 5 minutes, Chrissy. I've got some important questions still to ask you. Overcoming obstacles, crucial for growth. Maybe you want to share a couple of common blocks explored in your book that can impede individuals really from fully embracing their desires and spiritual purpose.
Well, the first one I'm going to talk about is our words. Words have power. Words have meaning. In the Bible, it said, "In the beginning, there was the word." And our words that, are like casting spells. That's why we call it spelling, right? It's like our words have meanings for us. And so when we're saying words like "I can't," or "I shouldn't," or "I should have," or "Oh, I miss that person," or these words pull our energy down and they block the flow of what we do want from us. That's why, and I know you're going to ask me this question too, I created a 10-day free program for people to understand how to be more aware of the words that they're using, because there are some words that pull our energy down and constrict us. So your listeners can go to watchyourwords.com and you'll get a 10-day video course. And each video for 10 days, there's a video of me sharing the word of the day, tells you what not to say, why, and what to say instead. Because even I'll just give an example saying, "Well,
Please.
I can't afford that," right? People say that all the time. "Well, I can't afford that." When you say, "I can't afford that," you're saying it's too expensive. It's not for me. It's for somebody else. And you're constricted. It doesn't feel good to think, "Oh, I can't afford that," right? But when you change it around to, "Ooh, I'd love that. It's not a financial priority for me right now, but I'm open. That excites me. I would love to do that." It changes everything. I had a client one time that called me and was so upset because she had a friend that was telling her, "Hey, I've got a trip to Hawaii and now all expenses are paid. You just have to get yourself there. You just have to get yourself to Hawaii. You have to pay for your plane ticket." And she said, "Well, I can't do that. I can't afford it." And so she closed down her energy. She closed down to the possibilities. And as I was coaching her, I said, "Well, would you want to go to Hawaii?" And she said, "Are you crazy?" "Yeah, I'd love to go to Hawaii." She told me if I get myself there, all the food, all the place, I mean, everything's taken care of,
Wow.
but I can't afford it. I said, "What if we just shifted your words, shift your language? Instead of saying, 'I can't afford,' say, 'That's not a financial priority for me right now, but I would love to go.'" So she kept saying that to herself. The very next day, her girlfriend called her back and said, "I just realized I have a non-refundable ticket. It is exchangeable. I've already bought my ticket. I have to use it by the end of the year. You can have a free ticket."
Oh my
So,
goodness.
yeah. And miracles happen like that all the time when we shift our words, because words have vibration and words lead to thoughts, and thoughts lead to beliefs, and beliefs lead to emotions, and that creates our reality. So it all starts with our words.
Wow. Give that website again, please, Christy, for this free 10-day session.
It's watchyourwords.com.
Watchyourwords.com. Oh, that's
Yeah.
tremendous. And dovetailing that, we've saved the most important question for last. Where can our loyal listeners purchase this great book, The Desire Factor? How can they best follow you, please?
Well, I would start with watchyourwords.com. That's a great way to start. You get into our free membership. So not only do you get the 10 days, but you get daily quotes and a lot of other goodies that will really help you fine-tune your words and your thoughts. So I definitely go to watchyourwords.com. You can go to christywhitman.com. And of course, you could buy The Desire Factor or any of my books at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, any local bookstores. Just go in and order it or call them. But online, you can find it anywhere. Just go Desire Factor, and there you go.
Terrific. Listeners, I want to give you the proper spelling of Christy's name. It's Christy Whitman, Whitman. Christy is a great Franciscan. She could hold on to all this greatness inside of herself. No, she wrote these great books, in particular, this Desire Factor. She came on, thank God for Monday, got up extra early there in Scottsdale, Arizona, shared it with us. It's your turn now. Please get out, buy one copy for yourself, share the good, buy a couple of more copies, share them with friends or families. This is a transformative book. This can really change your life and the lives of others. Get out there and do that, please. Christy Whitman, we can't thank you enough for coming on Thank God for Monday today. We have been enlightened. We've been greatly inspired. What desires are all about, how we mesh our spiritual and our material. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Continued success, great joy, happiness, and all this fantastic work you're doing.
Thank you, Brother Greg. Thank you for having me on. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, Lord. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg's saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Christy does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.